Welcome to all those that are with us. Erev Chanukah here in Israel. The sun will be setting in about 7-8 minutes. And the time for lighting candles is in about 40 minutes or so. We'll see how long the shiur will be today. We'll do the best we can. Torah Resh Mem Gimel, chapter 243. Rabbeinu Zal says, Da, you should know, Sheyesh tzadik godol mo'id, She'ein ho'olam yochoy lisboil kidushosoi. There's a great tzaddik, a very great tzaddik, whom the world cannot bear his holiness. Al kein hu misalem ma'oid. Therefore, this tzaddik is very hidden. Ve'ein royin mimenu shum kedusha uprishus yisera. We don't see any holiness. We don't see from him any special asceticism. He seems to be keeping a very normal profile, where a person would not be able to recognize his specialness as a tzaddik. And Rabbeinu Zal says, Ze machmas goydel kidushosoy moid. And this is due to the great holiness of this tzaddik. We know by Moshe Rabbeinu it's brought that at one point he had to put a cover over his face when he came down from heaven because people were not able to look at him. The light was so bright. V'ze b'chinas kol hashirim kodesh v'shir hashirim kodesh kodoshim. The Medrash tells us, and there's a Mishnah that says, that all songs of the Torah are holy, but shir hashirim is the holiest of all of them. Nimtza she'shir hashirim hu kodesh ma'oid yoiser harbe mikol hasfarim. This implies that shir hashirim is very holy, more so than the rest of the books of the Torah. V'hine motzinu she'shloime ha'melech olav shalom chiber shloisha sforim. We find that Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, authored 3 books, Mishle, Koheles, and Shir HaShirim. Ube'emes, and in truth, Mishle v'Koheles, heim kulam meleim musar v'yira shemayim oid. If a person studies Mishle, or they study Koheles, they will see in a very obvious way words that speak about fear and respect for Hashem, and words of reproof, words telling a person to be religious, encouraging us to live a religious life. Umatzinu bohem tevois kedusha v'tahara kama pomim. And we find many words that are related to holiness and purity all over Mishlei and Koheles. Aval b'shir hashirim, but if one studies Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, Einoi nimtza tevois kedusha v'tahara klal. You will not find in any obvious way any words that speak of holiness or purity. Puk, ayin, v'tishkach. Go out and see for yourself. Study. You'll find that what we're saying is accurate. Shebekol sefer Shir HaShirim, ein nimtza shom bechol ha-sefer shum tevois kodesh v'tohor. That throughout the entire Shir HaShirim, there are no words that speak in any obvious way of holiness or purity. And yet, if a person studies the Gemara and the Medrash, and especially the Zohar HaKadosh, we see that Shir HaShirim has in it incredible secrets of Kabbalah, where hiddenly it's speaking about the divine spirit of Hashem and all kinds of incredible levels of holiness. But in an obvious form, we don't see it at all whatsoever. V'ze machmas goydel oitzem kidushosoi. And this is because of the fact that Shir HaShirim is so incredibly holy, and therefore, ein royin shom shum kidusha. We don't see on the surface, or in any obvious way, any holiness. Al kein, ein nimtza shom tevois kidusha v'taro klal. And therefore, there are no words that express in an open way holiness and purity. However, hiddenly, it has incredible deep secrets. We know that there is the concept of hidden tzaddikim. We're told that in every generation there are 36 hidden tzaddikim. Their hiddenness, in many ways, is because of the fact that there's a unique specialness, a certain greatness, which if it were revealed, it could harm the tzaddik, and it could harm the effectiveness of the tzaddik. It's interesting to note that in one of the stories of Sipurei Maaseiyos, the 13 stories that Rabbi Nachman told, it speaks about a king who couldn't have children, and at one point he approaches the Jewish people, and he says to them, You know that you're in my hands. I can do anything I want with you. I'm advising you to pray for me to have a child. So it says there that they search for a tzaddik, and they find a tzaddik, and they approach him, and they tell him about this, that the king has threatened us, that he wants us to pray for him to have a child, and if he doesn't, our future is in trouble. So it says there that the tzaddik was mispalel, and the king had a child. He had a daughter. Then a while later, the king decided that he wants to have a son. And again, he approached the Jews and gave them the same warning, the same threat. And they went searching for the tzaddik, and they could no longer find him. They couldn't find him. And I've heard it told by the Zakenim of Breslov that once the tzaddik became known, this particular tzaddik, he couldn't have the same effect as he was able to have so long as he was hidden. Obviously, there are all kinds of variations of this and diversity. We know that Klal Yisrael did know about Moshe Rabbeinu. We know, for example, in the case of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, his students knew of his greatness. It's interesting to note that when Rabbi Akiva was about to pass away, Rabbi Akiva originally had 24,000 students. And we're told that they passed away during the days of Sfiras Omer because of the fact that there was a lack of mutual respect and love between them. Then we're told that Rabbi Akiva went out and he taught five great rabbis in the south of Eretz Yisrael. And these five, one was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, one was Rabbi Meir, one was Rabbi Yehuda, giants. And they were the ones who became the foundation of the oral Torah that we have today. So the Gemara tells us, I believe it's in the Yerushalmi, that when Rabbi Akiva was about to pass away, he gathered his students and he told them that when I pass away, Rabbi Meir will take over as the Rosh Yeshiva, the head of the yeshiva. So the Gemara says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai looked at him because he looked at Rabbi Akiva because Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai knew who he was. And Rabbi Akiva turned to him and said, "Your greatness, only Hashem and I know. Only Hashem and I know your greatness." Implying again that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai had to remain hidden to a degree, much more so than Rabbi Meir. We know that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai taught a select group of students, an elite group, but again, on a certain level, he was kept hidden from the majority of the Jewish nation at the time. Any questions?
Does this mean that there's two tracks in terms of being a tzaddik, that there's a track where you're mufursim and there's a track where you're, you know, beseser? Or does this mean that there's a variance? Like there's a...
It seems that there is some diversity in this sense, that there are certain tzaddikim that must be hidden, and there are others that don't need to be hidden or don't need to be as hidden. And again, we see many differences among Klal Yisrael. We read about tzaddikim, the Chassam Sofer, the Beis Yosef, the Ramo, the authors of the Shulchan Aruch, tzaddikim in the different generations. And we hear along the way that there were tzaddikim who were nowhere near as known, even though their greatness was extraordinary.
They say a Maisa with Rav Shach, that somebody asked him who one of the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim was. So he said the Stipler. They said, everyone knows about the Stipler. So he said, you don't really know about the Stipler. He said, if you'd really know, that's why he said, you don't really know.
Exactly. Very possible that there are Tzaddikim who are known and are completely unknown. We know that Rabbi Nachman made a statement that none of my students know me except Rab Nosson and Rab Naftali a little. And there are different understandings in Breslov whether he meant except Rab Nosson, comma, and Rab Naftali a little, or he was saying that even Rab Nosson and Rab Naftali only know a little bit about me. There's obviously a lot to learn about this, but again, on a certain level, for us to be clear that just because we don't see an obvious Kedusha, it's not a proof that it's not there. We know, for example, when it came to the Ma'ara Samachpela, are reading about this in the Parshias that we had recently. We're told that Ephraim sold Amar HaSamapela to Avram Avinu. When Avram Avinu went inside, he saw an incredible bright light. And Ephraim saw nothing. So sometimes there could be a very, very high level light, which most people or many people cannot see, and only certain individuals can. The Sifrei Kabbalah and the Sifrei Chassidus are full of spectacular explanations of Shir HaShirim, of the beautiful thoughts that we learn from Shir HaShirim. Torah Resh Mem Dalet, chapter 244. Mi Shehu Mo'irov Bein Ho'akum, a person who is very involved with Gentiles, non-Jews, living among them or working together with them. And Rabbi Nizal says specifically, "Dahainu sheyesh loy asokim umasu matni mohem." We're talking specifically about a person who has business dealings with them. Tzorich lishmoir atzmoi ma'oid ma'oid shaloyazik loy. Has to be extremely careful that he should not be harmed by this involvement in business with non-Jews. Kibekal yuchal lehitofes berishtam chas v'shalom. Because it's very easy for the person to get caught in their trap, chas v'shalom, lachloik atzmoi mimadregas yahadusoi, and to disconnect, to detach himself from his level of Jewishness, sheyeshloi. Because it's not difficult enough for a person, a Jew, who finds himself in this lowly world, this Olam Huasiyah, which is the lowest of all the worlds that Hashem created, Asher Malochim Ein Lohem Koyach Lamoid Bozeh Olam, whereby angels who were sent down to this world were not able to keep their holiness and the purity. They fell when they came down to this world. Kimoy Shemotzinu, as we find, Shepamach Asbo Malochim Bozeh Olam, that there was a time in the beginning of creation when angels came down to this world, V'nilkidu Moid, and they stumbled tremendously. The Zohar HaKadosh speaks about this in Bereishis, and Rashi makes reference to this in Chumash, that these angels mingled with women and with animals. They committed very ugly, disgusting acts, these angels, because of the fact that this world, this physical, materialistic world that we are in, is very far from holiness, very far from the holiness of Hashem. And it's extremely difficult for holiness that comes to this world to maintain its holiness. Aval be'emes, however, in truth, Yisroel yesh lahem koyach yoyser mimalochim. A Jew has more power than angels, is on a higher level than angels. Vehem yecholim lamoid bozeh olam. A Jew can stand up to the tests in this world. Ulehizgaber al ha'olam hazeh, and overcome the temptations and all the negative things, all the challenges that a Jew is faced with in this world, ulehidovek b'haboyre yisporach shemoi, and to be able to come very close to and deeply attached to Hashem, even from this world. Avolihiyos gam kein ma'oyra v'mo'akum. However, if a person takes this challenge a step further, and the person gets involved in doing business with non-Jews, ze koshe ma'oyid. That's very difficult. Alkein tzorich lishmoir atzmoi ma'oid ma'oid. Therefore, a person has to be aware of this and know that the person has to really protect themselves very, very well. Lihiyos kiyoseid chozok. To be like a spike that's stuck into the ground very deeply and it's very firm. Bal yimoit mimadregas kashrusoi viadusoi, so that the person will not be able to be moved, chas v'shalom, from his level of holiness and religiousness. The Gemara warns us about getting involved in business with non-Jews, because unfortunately, very often, there's sometimes a disagreement or something like that, and there's swearing, and the non-Jew will swear by his idols, things like that, and it could lead the Jew, chas v'shalom, to get into a situation where he has to swear. That's just one of the issues. But here we're told about, again, socializing with and mingling with non-Jews, that if a person doesn't have to, a person should certainly try to avoid it at all costs. And if a person does have to recognize the danger, the Gemara tells us that when the Jews were involved in business with non-Jews, very often they had to socialize with them. And the wives and daughters were involved. And again, non-Jewish women and girls very often don't have the same boundaries as Jewish women. And as such, could be frivolous and free. And chas v'shalom, a person never knows when a person could chas v'shalom be harmed by this. Torah Resh Mem Hei. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Da, you should know, sheyesh chadrei Torah, that there are chambers of Torah, rooms of Torah, large rooms of Torah, umi shezoich Elohim, and a Jew who is zoiche to be given the privilege to enter into these chambers of Torah, kishemaschil lechadesh b'Torah, when the person starts studying Torah deeply and being able to come forth with new ideas, new revelations in Torah, hu nichnas b'hachadorim. The person enters into these different chambers, v'nichnas micheder lecheder u'micheder lecheder, and the person moves along from one room to the other, to the other, ki b'chol cheder v'cheder yesh kama v'chama psochim l'chadorim ocherim. Because each one of these rooms has many openings leading into other rooms. V'chein mei oison ha-chadorim l'chadorim ocherim. And those rooms lead into other rooms. V'hu nichnas u'metayel b'kulam. And a person who's studying Torah deeply and properly goes from one room to the other. One thing opens a door to something else, which opens a door to something else. Umelaket mishon, oitzrois, usegulois, yekorois, vachamudois moi. And the person gathers from there treasures, incredibly precious, desirable treasures. Ashrei chelkoi, how fortunate and privileged is a Jew who is zoiche to be given this privilege. The Arizal, who lived in the 1500s, writes about himself that he reached a certain level where he was privileged at night when he would go to sleep, when his soul would leave him, it would go up to the Yeshiva Shalmala, to the heavenly schools, and he says that he was given a pass where he was able to go into any school he wanted to visit. And he describes some of the yeshivas in heaven, the yeshiva of Rabbi Akiva. He says there's a yeshiva of Basia Basparo, and he describes some of these yeshivas, and each one of them different levels. He speaks about the Masifta Derokia, the yeshiva of which the Malach Memtes is the Rosh Yeshiva, and he speaks about the Masifta Ilah, where Hashem himself is the Rosh Yeshiva. This is one example of something similar. These Chadrei HaTorah, these chambers of Torah, where great tzaddikim are given permission to enter into there and to be able to receive incredible privileged information. Rabbi Nachman in Likutei Moran, chapter 22 in Likutei Moran, in the first half of Likutei Moran, which is entitled Choysam Betoy Choysam, a seal within a seal. It's one of the very deep chapters in Likutei Moran. And Rabbi Nachman, when he told over this shiur, he prefaced it by saying that he was up in heaven and he came to a place where there was Torah being revealed. And he said, I love Torah very, very much. So I wanted to go in, and there was a guard at the entranceway that wouldn't let me in. And I had to pay to get in. And he said the price was 1,000 adumim. I don't know exactly what the unit is. I would imagine it might be something like $100,000, that equivalent spiritually. And Rabbi Nazal said that each tzaddik has a budget allocated to them, and this was a huge sum, but I thought it was worth it. And I paid it, and I was allowed entrance, and this Torah, chapter 22 in Likutei Moran, is some of what I was privileged to hear at that time. Now Rabbi Nazal continues, Aval da, however you should know, shetzorech lizoher moed, that a person has to be very careful, leval yite biatzmoi, not to fool ourselves, ki loy b'mehera zoichen lezeh, because a person doesn't get to these levels quickly, ki yesh kama v'kama chidushim she'enom boi misham, because there are many innovative thoughts in Torah which do not come from these Chadrei HaTorah, rak mehechle hatmurois, but rather they come from the chamber of exchanges. Ki ezeh l'umazeh osolikim, because Hashem has made holiness and unholiness parallel to each other, where very, very often they look similar, even though they're opposites, complete opposites. This term hechle hatmurois is used in Sifrei Kabbalah, Sifrei Hasidus, to refer to a place in heaven where good and bad, light and darkness, get switched around sometimes. Sometimes a person could think that they're grabbing light, and it's really darkness. It's something that pretends to be light, when in actuality it's darkness. Something that pretends to be holiness, when in actuality it's impurity. This is called Heichle HaTmurois, the Chamber of Exchanges. One of the stories in Sipurim Isaias, the 11th story in Sipurim Isaias, which speaks about a prince and a pauper that were exchanged, that were switched. When they were babies, they were switched. When Rav Nosson Zal expounds on that story in Likutei Halachos, in Hilchos Birchas HaShachar, Halacha Gimel, there Rav Nosson Zal goes into beautiful depth and explanation of this concept of this Heichle HaTmurois. So now Rabbeinu Zal tells us here that when a Talmud Chacham is learning Torah, and sometimes he'll come up with new innovative thoughts, he can't assume that this is coming from those highest level Chadrei HaTorah. It's possible that it's coming from the Heichle HaTmurois. And even though it appears to the person as if this is a very high-level Torah thought, afal pikein, still, gam sham yesh chidushim noim, in the Heichle HaTmurois also, there are beautiful revelations, shenidmin lahasogois, which seem to be deep, holy insights in Torah, when they're not really. It's really something questionable, or it's something false. V'gam boze yesh kama b'chinois. And here also there are many different levels. We know in the Sefer Chaye Moharan, the English translation of the Breslov Research is called Tzaddik, where it speaks a lot about Rabbeinu Zal's life. It says that Rabbeinu Zal was once sitting with a group of leading tzaddikim during his generation, and they got into a discussion about the Malach Memtes, the chief angel in heaven, who's known as the Malach Memtes. And one of the rabbis said, I saw this angel, and he appeared like such and such. And Rabbeinu Zal shook his head like this, implying, no, he didn't see. And then another one said differently, and Rabbeinu Zal was quiet, he didn't speak up, but he shook his head, saying that that's not the way you see him, that's not the way one sees the Malach Memtes. And again, this was an incredible, we're talking about high-level tzaddikim, and even there, there's a potential sometimes for a tzaddik to perceive that he sees something a certain way, and it's accurate, and it's not necessary. I remember my rabbi, Zichron Levracha, Reb Michal Dorfman, Zichron Levracha, told over a dream that he once had, where he saw Rabbi Nachman in a dream. We don't have the time to go into it right now. Who knows, maybe next week as a treat for Hanukkah, maybe we'll tell over this dream. But he mentioned that afterwards, he approached some of the elders of Breslov in Uman at that time. This was while he was living in Russia, in Uman, and he approached some of the elders there privately, and he told them about the dream, and he told them the way Rabbi Nachman looked in the dream, and they nodded saying, yes, that's how you see him. When a person sees Rabbi Nachman in a dream, that's how you see him. And he mentioned to me that there was a different occasion where somebody said that they saw Rabbi Nachman in a dream, and he asked them, how did he look? And the person described what they saw, and Reb Michal understood it was not the way he had seen it. Now listen carefully how Rabbeinu Zal elaborates on this topic. Rabbeinu Zal says about the different variations of this. Kimoi lamoshel, for example, kishekoisvin tevas odom, when a person writes the word odom, yoidin sheze merames al dmus odom, a person who knows Hebrew, they read that word, they read the word Adam, and they know that this implies a physical being that has two hands, two feet. Each one of the hands has five fingers. They have hair on their head. They have a nose and eyes. And seeing the word Adam, the person can picture in their mind what this represents. Aval hurak beremez bialma. However, that is not a person. That's just a hint. Ki ein kosov shom shum tziur hodom, because it's not a picture of a human being, it's just the word. Ve'yesh shemetzayrin al haniyar tziur hodom. Then you can have another example of a person who actually draws an artist who draws a beautiful picture of a person. Ve'shom nigle yoiser ktsas demus hodom, and a person looking at that, that's a much clearer description, a much clearer representation of a person, but it's not a person. It's a picture. V'yesh shemenasrin tziur ha'odom mechatichas eitz. Then you could have somebody who carves out a sculpture from wood. They make an actual image of how a human being would look. V'shom nizgala oid yoyser tzir odom. And there you see even more clearly how the person looks. Avalaf al pikein ein ze odom mamish. However, that is not a person. That's not a real human being. Rak ha'odom bi'atzmoy hu ha'odom be'emes. It's only an actual human being that's a human being. These are representations of it. K'moykein, similarly, yesh kama chidushin shel Torah. There are many levels of innovations of Torah thoughts, shehem rak k'moy pinkos, which are like the example we gave before, it's like a notebook. In the example we gave, it would be similar to a person writing the word Odom. Ki ha-Torah hi bechinas Odom. Because we know that the Torah is compared to a person. Kama shekosuv, as it says in Chumash Bamidbar, Zois ha-Torah Odom. This is the Torah, man, a human being. So we see that there are comparisons, there are things that we can draw, analogies and comparisons, from a human being to the Torah. V'yesh shehu nichnas lefnemizeh. Then you have a greater Talmud Chacham who enters into a higher level of closeness to Hashem. Aval af al pikein ein ze odom kanal. But still, the Torah thoughts that he's expressing are not yet the actual person. Rak hishezoichen el ha-Torah bi'atzmoy. It's only when a tzaddik is worthy of the Torah itself, zehu bechinas odom bemes. In our example that we gave, that's a bona fide example of a person. That's the person himself. Vezehu zois ha-Torah odom. This is one of the things that we derive from this pasuk. This is the Torah, man, odom, zois ha-Torah daika. This is the Torah. Meaning, rak zois ha-Torah ha-amitis hu bechinas odom. It's only this. This is an accurate form of the Torah. Everything else is less accurate. So that even within emes, even within truth, there are levels and levels. We once mentioned this before, that when Hashem wanted to create the world, we're told that he consulted with the angels. And when he was going to go ahead with the creation of man specifically, he asked the angels, what's your opinion? And the angels of truth said, don't do it, you'll be sorry, do not create man. Man is false, man is going to be sins. And we find that Hashem did go ahead and create man. So Rav Nosson Zal and many other commentaries ask, 1 minute, if these are the angels of truth, their words were not true. It was not true, because that wasn't the ultimate truth, because we see Hashem did go ahead with the creation of man. And they explain, Rav Nosson Zal explains, that even though these angels are called the angels of truth, their level of truth is not identical to the emes of Hashem. Within emes, there are levels and levels and levels. So that what they were saying had truth to it. It was valid. It had some validity to it. But there's a higher truth called tshuva and other things, the things that Hashem used to justify why he would, yes, go ahead with the creation of man. And Rav Nosson Zal writes there, it's only tzaddikim, an angel, cannot achieve the truth of Hashem. A tzaddik who comes down to this world and is challenged by a Yetzirah, challenged by angels, and if he succeeds in winning the battle in this world on the highest levels, he can go above the angels and he can get closer to Hashem's truth than the angels can. And again, these are the tzaddikim who defend the Jewish people, no matter how bad we are, no matter how, they're always defending us, always being able to justify us, and to show Hashem how Hashem really wants us. Continuing inside, Rabbeinu Zal says, V'da, and you should know, Shekol Odom, Koidem Shemasig Batoira Hasogo Shalemes, every person, before the person can attain a true insight in Torah, Tzorich leilech behechrech derech elu hechli atmurais. The person must first pass through the chamber of exchanges. Avla klal, but the important rule to remember is she'osur litois biatzmoi, that it's forbidden for the person to misjudge himself, lizbor shekvar boel ha'hasoga horoi, and to think he already got to the finish line, he already got to a true, accurate insight. Ki im yisbor kein, because if the person will think like that, yishoer sham chas v'shom, he won't realize he's got a long way to go to the, get to the finish line. Aval kisheyeda shadayin lo yishe lichnois lechadrei toira amitim. But if the person will realize that he has not yet begun to enter into the true chambers of Torah, azai yischazek b'avodas Hashem, then the person will really strengthen himself and exert himself to go higher and higher, to advance more and more in getting close to Hashem. Ve'yarbe b'tfilois, and the person will pray a lot. Ve'yaftzir, and he'll insist, he'll really push very hard to advance. Ad she'yipaschu lo yishare hakedusha be'emes, until heaven will open up the gates of holiness, the real gates of holiness. Va'oz yira ha'hefresh, and then the person will see the difference between the real gates of holiness and what he thought were the gates of holiness. Now, interesting, we find this even in the case of the Arizal, who lived in the 1500s again. The Arizal was asked by his student, Reb Chaim Vital, how did you get to your level, to the levels you achieved? And the Arizal said, I worked very hard. Reb Chaim Vital said, so did they. So did other rabbis in this generation. They also worked very hard, and yet they didn't get anywhere near to the levels that you got to. The Arizal said, I worked harder. Those were his words. And he gave examples. He said there were times that he would study something in the Zohar HaKadosh, and he would work on it for a week, for a few weeks to understand it. And when he felt that he understood it properly, he would go on, he would continue. And then he would receive a message from heaven a while later saying that you didn't yet understand the true pshat and what the Zohar HaKadosh says there. You have to go back. And he said, I would go back and I would fast and I would pray very, very hard. So we see that even by a tzaddik on that level, there are incredible, there are levels and levels of truth and understanding, especially when we're talking about hasogas elokus, divine knowledge. There are levels and levels of being able to understand. And this applies on every level. Sometimes a person could be learning in a yeshiva, in a beis medrash, and a person gives a dvar Torah that they prepared, they worked very hard to prepare it, and then somebody gets up and shows, disproves it. They show how one of the basic premises on which this whole dvar Torah was based on is false. And the person says, you're right, I made a mistake. I didn't realize that. I didn't know that. I take it back. Vafilu im osa uvdois v'tanesim v'sigufim b'shvil Hashem Yisborach. Rabbeinu Zalz writes now, even if the person worked very hard in their devotion to Hashem, studying very hard and doing mitzvahs, v'tanesim, and the person fasted many times, v'sigufim, and they took upon themselves physical pain and everything, b'shvil Hashem Yisborach, for the sake of Hashem, and then the person achieves these revelations in Torah, afal pikein al yamoid al zeh lisbor shehem hasogoy shelemes. The person should not assume, he shouldn't assume and be confident yet that his thoughts are really true insights. Ki afilu lahadimyoinei shel hechli hatmurois tzorich uvdois v'tanesim. Because for a person to get to the level where they are allowed to enter the Heichle Atmurois, the Chamber of Exchanges, that takes tremendous effort and struggle and fasting to be able to get to the pregame, to be able to get to the Heichle Atmurois. And Rabbeinu Zalnau gives an example. He says, "Vafilu betayvos olam hazeh yesh dugma lazeh." Even in the temptations of this world, of the earthly world, I can give you an example of this, he says. Kemoi lamoshel, Rabbeinu Zal is going to explain to us the entertainment industry. Kegoin lamoshel, kishoisin schoik v'komedia. When there's going to be a performance of a clown, a very professional clown or a comedian that's going to do an incredible professional comedian act. Azai noisea echod. Then you have another person who travels around, umachriz, and announces, v'choyshev kol advorim sheyasu la komedia. He makes an announcement, he advertises the acts, the different acts that this comedian is going to perform. Vafshehu taivo lishmoya, and even though it's interesting to hear the announcement that this person is saying, you know what kind of comedy acts are going to be? There's going to be this, there's going to be that. Afal pikein, ein zeh haschoik biatzmoy. This is not yet the comedy act. This is just an advertisement. In computers, I believe you have a trailer. They call it a trailer where something new is going to be shown. And they don't want to show you the whole thing. They give you a 2-3 minute little piece to give you an idea of what's going to be shown. And then when a person actually arrives in the room where they're going to be performing this performance, Yeshom Metsuyar Altav Alatavlo Koladvorim Shiasusham. There are beautiful posters on the walls that show pictures of the comedy act, this great theatrical thing that's going to be put, this performance. Vigamze Einoi Hadovor Biatsmoi. And even though it looks interesting, these pictures are in color and you see, but that's not the comedy act yet. That's not the performance yet. Vafilu kisheboim sham lifnim. And even when a person already comes inside, oimed letz echot, there's a person that gets up, a buffoon, a comedian, voise kemaise koif, and he performs an act mimicking the real professional actor, imitating him. Vechol hadvorim shoisa bal komedia, hu oise achra bileitzonis. And all of the professional things that this person is going to perform, this comedian mimics him. He puts on a performance with the voice and the gestures as if he's the real person. V'gamze einoi hadovar biatzmoi. And again, this is not yet the real thing. V'ikor, the main thing, hu aschoik biatzmoi shoysen shon, is the actual theater performance that's going to be performed. U'kemoikein tovin hanim shal miatzmoi. Rabbi Nazal says, you can understand the moral of this, how this applies to Torah. There are people who it seems to them as if they have already entered into the chamber of holiness. Not just inside, but v'lifnai v'lifnim. Some people are convinced that they're in the inner sanctum of holiness. V'adayin oimei b'chutz legamri. And in reality, they're still completely on the outside. Ki lo hischil lahasig hasogo shelemes. The person hasn't even begun yet to attain a true divine insight regarding Hashem. There's a Gemara, the Baal Shem Tov says there's a Gemara at the end of Ksubas, where the Gemara says, Kol Hador be'eretz Yisrael, any person who lives in Eretz Yisrael, doime kemish yesh lalokai, it's like they have Hashem over them. V'chol Hador b'chutz l'oretz, whereas a person who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael, doime kemish ein lalokai, it's like they don't have a Hashem over them. The Baal Shem Tov asks, what's the doime? I don't understand the doime word. What's the doime? It could have said, Kol Hador be'eretz Yisrael, yesh lo eloka. What does it mean, it seems like? Doime means it seems like. So the Baal Shem Tov says, I'll give you another interpretation of this. Kol Hador be'eretz Yisrael. Any person who thinks that they're already living in the Kedusha, they're already inside the holiness, it seems to them as if they have Hashem, as if they're holding on to Hashem. But in reality, they're very far from Hashem. A person who feels distant from Hashem, they feel, even though they've learned a lot of Torah, they're finishing Shas for their 20th time, and they've learned Halacha, and they're learning Medrash, and they're learning the Zohar HaKadosh, but they still feel so far from purity, from holiness, from coming close to Hashem. Doime kemishen alokai. It seems as if he doesn't have closeness to Hashem. But in reality, that person is very close to Hashem. We know that when Moshe Rabbeinu was about to leave the world, real shortly before he passed away, he said, we have Parshas Vo'eschanan, where Moshe Rabbeinu says he prayed to Hashem 515 prayers to get to Eretz Yisrael. And he gives us a sample of what one of those prayers was. And he says, Hashem Alekim, Ato hachiloiso laharois es avdecha, es godlecha vesiot hachazoka. Hashem, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your power. This is Moshe Rabbeinu, who's at the end of his 120-year career, where Hashem says there's no one that ever achieved the closeness to me as Moshe Rabbeinu. He's welcome anywhere in heaven. B'chol Beis Neman, who I trust him throughout my entire house, which means all the Chadrei HaTorah are open for him. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Hashem, you started to show me a little bit, a tiny drop of your greatness. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, V'hatzadik ha-godol ma'oid. However, the very great tzaddik, af kishezoiche lahasig hasogois gedoiloi shel hakedusha be'emes, even though and even when he succeeds, he merits in achieving very high level understandings of holiness, af al pikein einom nechshovim be'enov leklum, he considers them like nothing. Legoidel oitzem hakoroso yes gedulois haboyreis borach, compared to his perception of the greatness of Hashem himself, how great Hashem really is, so that all the deep understandings, all the Kabbalistic things that I know about Hashem, I know that that's not even a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of how great Hashem really is. Al kein, therefore, hu mishtadel u mischazek b'chol pam, sheyaschil Hashem yisborach laharo isloi oir ha-toyrah. Therefore, this tzaddik strives all the time, and he pushes himself that Hashem should begin to show him the light of the Torah, ki'ilu lo yishchil lahasik klal miyomov, as if he hasn't even begun to understand anything at all whatsoever. This is the example that we gave of Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is an example of what we saw by Rabbeinu Zal. Rav Nosson Zal writes that there were times that Rabbeinu Zal would give an incredible deep shiur, and after the shiur, a few minutes after the shiur, Rabbi Nachman would say, I don't know anything, I know nothing. And they would look at him, what are you talking about? And he once said, I swear by Shabbos Kodesh that I don't know anything. And he wasn't lying. What he meant was that he was clearing the registers completely. He was vacating his brain, his mind totally, to be able to receive a whole new influx of understanding of Hashem. And again, that whatever he knew, compared to the respect and love that he had for Hashem himself, no matter how deep the insights, he knew that this is nothing compared to how great Hashem really is. And this is a tremendous warning that's given especially to people who study Kabbalah. When a person studies Kabbalah, and they study the different names of Hashem, and they study the unifications of names of Hashem, and very often it's easy for a person to forget and think, okay, now I understand Hashem, now I know exactly how Hashem works, and now I know. And if the person says that, the Arizal says, it means they haven't begun to begin. We need to know that everything that's revealed in the Zohar HaKodesh, in the writings in the Arizal, and all Sifrei Kabbalah, is still a fraction of a fraction. It's still not touching the surface of how great Hashem really is. The Baal Shem Tov once said, there's a pasuk, Toiras Hashem Temima. The Torah of Hashem is complete, it's whole. And he said it's like an example of something. You have a cup of cream, let's say, and the cup is filled to the top with cream, and implying nobody has yet penetrated the surface yet. You know, in the Torah, there are layers and layers and layers. Torah Hashem Tmimad Baal Shem Tov means we haven't even penetrated the upper surface of what the Torah is. Because the Torah is infinite. Hashem is infinite. The Torah is infinite. As much as we learn, as much as we know, we're not closing the gap yet on Hashem. We're not catching up with Hashem yet in any way. We should be zeicher, we're lighting the candles of Hanukkah tonight in Yetz Hashem. We should be zeicher that the light of the Torah, the light of Hashem, the light of the tzaddikim should shine for us with their truth. Rabbeinu Zal here is speaking about emes. There's a pasuk, shlach urcha va'amitcha. Hashem, send us your light and your truth. Light and truth are synonymous. When a person lights the Hanukkah candles, to have in mind, Hashem, please help me that I should never fool myself. I shouldn't try to fool other people, and especially I shouldn't fool myself into thinking I'm someone who I'm not really, into thinking that I made it when I didn't really make it yet. My Rebbe Rav Rosenfeld once said, I've said it in the past, but it's worth quoting him now, and we'll close with this, that there's a Gemara that says that if a person pretends to be blind, in order to collect charity. He knows as a blind person, people will give him a much larger donation than if he's just a regular person. The Gemara says the person will not leave the world without becoming blind. If a person pretends to be a cripple, the same thing. The Gemara gives a few examples. So my Rebbe said, what if the person pretends to be a tzaddik? We have much more of that. That's even more. Does it mean he won't leave the world without becoming a tzaddik? And he said the answer is that the person starts out pretending, trying to fool others, but he himself knows that he's not a tzaddik. The punishment is, chas v'shalom, that the person will end up fooling themselves. They'll end up believing it. And then the person's really in trouble. When a person thinks they believe they're a tzaddik when they haven't gotten to that level yet, then the person isn't going to really put in the effort that should be put in to try to become a tzaddik. We should be zeicher to come close to the true tzaddikim, to study their words, to get close to Hashem. And Hashem should bring us the great light, the light of Moshiach, who will make everything clear to all of us with the building of the third and final Beis Hamikdash, b'mehera v'yameinu, amen v'yamein. Any questions before we close?
We don't want to keep you from doing the mitzvahs of Hanukkah.
Wonderful.
Have a good
I'm going to Dav Marv, we'll light the candles. We have all of you in mind here in Eretz Yisrael. All the best.